Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to continue to talk today about the foolishness of the cross and the wisdom of God that's revealed in the cross. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been talking a lot about the fundamental truth that God's ways are not our ways, and his plan of salvation, how he planned to save the world, how he planned to bring down the kingdom of darkness, is different than how we probably would have decided to do it. Fundamentally in this, in the choices he makes, God's choice, for example, he said on Monday, remembering the Feast of the Assumption last week, God's choice of Our Lady as being the kind of the point person of the whole thing. He chooses someone who in the eyes of this world is weak, of no account, of no influence, of no power. And he chooses her by the grace of Jesus' cross literally applied to her life. We know Our Lady was preserved from the stain of original sin, but throughout her life she cooperated with the work of the Holy Spirit that was at work in her. She said yes to Jesus, and it's through the weak that the power of God is manifested. The world has it kind of upside down. We honor strength of various kinds, which is okay to recognize strength, but we put all our stock in it, like the smartest people, the strongest people physically, the best-looking people, the most influential people, all of this. This is where the action is. This is where real strength can be found. But strength is found in God only, ultimately, in the humble, the broken, those who say yes to God, those who are living in his will. And Mary perfectly surrendered to the Lord. And she walked through her life with Jesus, through his passion. She was pierced. She felt the rejection of the world and probably felt in a natural way her own powerlessness. But she also saw, as those around her saw, and now we recognize, the depth of the power that was at work in her through Jesus. The work of the power of the Holy Spirit as the first disciple who followed Jesus and walked in the footsteps of Jesus all the way to the end. And then Jesus took her up into heaven, gave her a unique share in his glory by crowning her queen of heaven and earth. Humility is really powerful in the kingdom of God. It's barely recognized in the world. It doesn't impress people. It certainly doesn't impress the proud and the strong. And so what Paul has been teaching us, we've been looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, where he says that the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but for those who are saved, it's the very power of God. What looks like abject, total defeat, crushing humiliation, dying, bleeding, naked on a cross, that looks like defeat to the natural eye. In God's plan and purpose, what's revealed and why it's the power for those who are being saved, the power of God for those who are being saved, is literally accepting Jesus' death on the cross, being baptized into Christ, and in baptism being united to the cross of Jesus Christ, so the pride in me, the sin in me, can be put to death. It literally, that pride, that arrogance that Paul talks about here in these passages has to be put to death. It's part of our sin nature. And in baptism, we're crucified with Christ. We're united to the cross. We have to take our sin, our rebellion against God, and every way that's manifested, and give it to Jesus and to let him crucify it. Don't hang on to it. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to our pride. Don't hold on to our arrogance and our positions or our pleasures or our idols. The cross sheds light on all of that in our lives. All the hold that those realities have on us, on our mind, on our will, and our imagination, our emotions. Because what it means to be human is perfectly revealed in Jesus Christ on the cross. The wisest man who ever lived, the most successful man who ever lived, in trying to use the terminology that people are impressed by today, the most fulfilled man who ever lived, the shrewdest man who ever lived, is hanging on a cross. He died on a cross 2,000 years ago. His life was perfectly aligned with his purpose and his destiny. He was perfectly aligned with the Father, the creator of all things. He fulfilled what it meant to be human. And what it meant to be human is to obey God, is to have what Paul calls here the wisdom of God. Jesus lived according to his experiential knowledge of God the Father and the Father's will for his life. So he dies a death on a cross, which is a total act of love and yielding himself to God's will, to the will of another. He's obedient. That's why he was on the cross. His love, which is expressed in obedience, took him to the cross. It perfected him. Hebrews talks about. He was perfect, literally perfect, in that act of love. And that perfect act of love is what saves the human race. That's why it's the power of God. God's wisdom, which is what? Expressed in Jesus in what? In humility, in obedience, in fidelity, in surrender, in radical love, total trust. This is where the action is, friends. This is wisdom because it leads to eternal life. This world's wisdom, it's going to die with the world itself. It can't save. That's why before God, it's foolishness. Friends, the thing we most need is hardly even talked about today. I often reflect on I mentioned earlier in the week, these prestigious universities around the country and even around the world, many of which were founded on godly principles, were clearly founded by Christians who recognized God, accepted God's wisdom, revealed it through Jesus on the cross. And now you couldn't find that wisdom hardly anywhere on these campuses. It's certainly not talked about in classrooms in a way that's respectful and understanding. All crosses, crucifixes seem to be taken down. I mean, images of Christ, it's now, he's a stumbling block to everybody. He's an embarrassment to these prestigious places. And religious faith is mocked in many of these places today. And man is pounding his chest, boasting in his wisdom, and declaring himself free from what he calls bondage, right? The stupidity and the foolishness of religious belief. Many boast that we're finally getting free from it and its influence in our culture today. What's getting revealed here is the real condition of the human heart and why what Paul is saying just makes so much sense. God has to destroy the wisdom of the wise and thwart the cleverness of the clever. He has to wake us up. He has to preach a gospel. It takes humility to accept Jesus. It takes great the grace of God, first of all, to believe in Jesus. But it takes God's grace to become humble through repentance of sin and to say, yes, Lord, you're right about me, that I need salvation, that I'm a sinful man, that I cannot save myself, that I need to bend my knee and repent to say that I'm sorry with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to enter into your church through the waters of baptism and be a part of a people that the world is constantly at war against, constantly mocks because of its pathetic people within it. The proud say, I'm not bending my knee to anybody. I'm my own master. I'm my own designer. I determine the purpose for my life. I define happiness for me. I craft my own morality. Don't tell me what to do, because that's the only way I'm going to be happy. That's the spirit of the age. That's the demonic resistance against God. And what does God do? What's the way out of it? That pride has to be broken. We have to surrender so we can enter our relationship with God and be rightly ordered under God. All of that objection, friends, deep down in there, it's whether people articulate it or not or think about it in their mind, is the assertion, I will not serve. It's willfulness. It's sinful. Or I want to be like God. Back to the garden. That same battle is going on in the human heart. And the idea of surrender, of obedience to another, that's what crucifies the human heart. We say, Lord, you are right. From the cross, you shed your light into my heart. You show me what a wise life looks like. You show me what perfection looks like, what ultimate fulfillment looks like. What a human life to be honored for all eternity looks like and will be honored for all eternity. And right next to our Lord is Our Lady, who walked in his footsteps. And though the world did not recognize her, and she didn't have much power and influence in this world, she obeyed him perfectly and walked in humility. And God is drawn, the saints tell us, God is drawn to humility. We're repulsed by it. Reveals a lot, doesn't it? Reveals a lot about the human heart, the human condition. To be a servant of God, yikes. The saints call themselves slaves of God. Paul does, the Bible, right? Well, I'm not anybody's slave, is what the human heart says. I'm not going to be a servant. I'm going to be the one who served. I'm going to be first. I'm not going to be last. I'm not going to lose myself. I'm going to assert myself on the world. It's the radical opposite of Jesus. It's the radical opposite of what true eternal wisdom looks like. It's smart. It's the best investment possible to walk in the footsteps of Jesus and say yes to what he says yes to, and to say no what he wants us to say no to. Because everything else, friends, if we don't do that, we die in our sin. We die with our idols. We die with our pride. And we're eternally separated from God because we've declared God our enemy and we decided it's better to die in pride than to have to serve somebody. Paul made it so clear. God chose what is low and despised in the world to really make an appeal to the proud. He says, he chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to something things that are. Things that the world considers as kind of worthless and useless, like simple people, uninspired, you know, a people without influence or impact or resource. The world's not impressed with lowly people. God is determined to bring the proud, to give them a chance, to bring to nothing those who think they're something, so they don't do the terrible thing of boasting in the presence of God. It's a horrific thing to do. I don't need you, God. I don't need you. I've got everything I need right here in me, and I will not serve. I'll save myself. I'm fine, thank you. I'll save myself. We're going to talk a little bit more about this tomorrow again, friends. I hope you can join us. In the meantime, let's all open our hearts to the grace of the humility and power of the Holy Spirit. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.